Welcome to the Rosie on the House Arizona Hour. Driven by Sanderson Ford.
Your weekend wake-up tradition.
It's Rosie on the House.
Beautiful Arizona Saturday morning. So we have a lot of beautiful mornings, but you should never take them for granted. Had you been waking up on February 21st, 1980, in Wickenburg, Arizona, you'd be dealing with the aftermath of a 40-foot wall of water washing away half the town as a result of heavy rains washing out the Walnut Grove Dam.
What year was that?
1890.
Long time ago.
129 years ago. When it was evident that the dam was going to give way, Superintendent sent Dan Burke. He's like, "You're our Paul Revere, man. Warn them the waters are coming. Get on your horse and ride." He had 4 miles to go to get to the conversion dam that was being built downriver to let everyone know, "Get out, get out, get out." Fortunately, there was a saloon halfway in between that he stopped at never made it any further.
That is a horrible story.
Well, you know how those boys can be. Come on, Dan. Well, we're going to die if you don't have another drink with us. Come hell or high water if you don't have another shot. Come on, let's do some shots.
Wow.
Wiped out Henry Wickenburg's orchard, and that was pretty much financially broken from there through the rest of his life. So it was, and the dam had never been rebuilt. We've spent all month covering the town of Wickenburg. It's the destination of our March staycation winter. Had some great interviews. Covered the Hacienda River Preserve. Rod Pratt with the Vulture City and the restoration work they're doing. Desert Caballeros Western Museum and an artist.
Judith Durr.
Y'all had a great interview. I was gone that. We had a rodeo that week. I missed that interview. But all of these you can get at rosieonthehouse.com. You can download the podcast, and along with the conversation we have with our winner and their experience at the Flying E Ranch that is starting off Cowgirl.
Well, the museum is having Cowgirl Up exhibitions, what you're thinking of, but the Flying E has all kinds of fun Cowgirl weekends in February. So if you're interested, get on the Flying E website and sign up for next year and get your girlfriends to go.
Very good. There was a great picture in the paper this week of Salt River Fields, a spring training baseball game. Just the picture-perfect Arizona. You've got all that flooding in the Midwest, the polar vortex or whatever they're calling it in the Northwest. And here you do have snow, but it's snow on top of the McDowell Mountains, and everyone sitting down on the baseball fields is in T-shirts. Jeans, some of them even have shorts. Is that not the most persistent? We don't get those every day.
No, and
you got to be thankful when they come.
If you came in February, you weren't as happy with us. But if you were here in March, you loved us.
Of course, the snow on the McDowells is all gone, but there's still snow on the Santa Ritas. I had the privilege of having lunch with our KGVY affiliates this week, Jim and Deanne, down in Green Valley. Got to swing into the Titan Missile Museum. Our February staycation winter was in Tubac, and we interviewed the Titan Missile. They're like, "Come on a tour." I'm like, I've got 20 minutes. Let me just get a sneak peek. Got a few pictures. Got a few things from the gift shop for the kids. And I had to get to lunch. And then after that, I ran down to Tubac and grabbed an egg salad sandwich from The Goods, one of 10 destinations from Arizona Highways, April edition. They have a sandwich tour, and that was the farthest one south. I'm like, I'm all the way in Green Valley. I'm going the extra. It's 23 kilometers. It goes from miles to kilometers on 19.
We're going to have a hard time keeping you in your seat at work until you've had all those sandwiches. I noticed your little bins in the office, too, in the refrigerator. They're like all full now of sandwich stuff. You're inspired.
Oh, and we're going to have the author of this article on next week in our Arizona Hour, so we look forward to that. But today's topic in our Arizona Hour actually was inspired by a radio broadcast we had in December about some historic preservation that was done in Prescott, Arizona. We were there for the Christmas tree courthouse lighting the first Saturday of every December. And this email comes in talking about how he thoroughly enjoyed the architect from Prescott. So let me tell you what I've been working on in Phoenix. And it has just developed from there. And we've brought Mr. Steve Schumer in.
Schumacher.
Schumacher. Thanks for taking time out of this Saturday morning. Your card here says Building the Future of Phoenix History.
Right, right. Thank you. Thank you so much, Roman. Quite an opportunity. And Jennifer, you've been just marvelous in helping us make this happen. Thank
you. I'll take it.
So tell us what you're working on. I've got an article I clipped out from earlier this month about Pioneers Month in Phoenix, and I understand you had quite a bit to do with making that happen.
Well, I'd like to think so. About a year ago, I started. The important thing to understand is up till about the mid-1970s, Phoenix did a pretty good job of recognizing its pioneers. And then something happened and it all dropped off. And personally, I'm on a mission to try to get more recognition and celebration of our pioneers. March 12th, which was a couple weeks ago, was the 151 years ago, Jack Swilling, who started Phoenix, really, he dug the first canal and turned water from the Salt River into that canal to grow crops around the airport. So that's why March is Phoenix Pioneers Month.
How long ago was that? You said
it was 1868.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a reason he didn't start in July.
Right.
Right. Exactly. That's right. That's right. So we've been trying to do, Rob and I have been trying to do a lot more education and awareness for citizens, school kids, anybody who is within the valley, to try to make them more aware, educate them a little bit more about the history of Phoenix, because we found that once people are a little more aware of its colorful history, they'll be a little more conscious of some of our historic buildings. So that's really what we're trying to do.
And you've brought a guest with you?
Right. Good friend of mine, good colleague, as well as an incredible historian, Rob Malikian. Family owns the San Carlos Hotel and several other historical properties, but I'll let him introduce himself.
Thank you, everyone, because this is so important to history, is to give visibility to it and education for people. The story of Phoenix is a unique and rich history that most people don't know. In fact, Phoenix has... There are two stories in Phoenix, because of the ancient Native Americans and then the modern Europeans who came. And it's thanks to Steve that we have a birthday of March 12th. He researched it 151 years ago is when the water started flowing again in the canals.
And so your family's deeply involved in projects of restoring things, correct?
Correct. We love the hustle and bustle of downtown Tucson, Phoenix, Scottsdale, people walking, interacting. And I think the young people, millennials, like that also. So we're hoping to get more of a 24-hour night life in both Phoenix, Tucson, and Scottsdale.
And the historic buildings that your family owns, the San Carlos, that's the downtown Phoenix?
Last of the 1920 hotels downtown. Movie stars, ghosts. It's kind of a magnet for history because a lot of people walk in and tell us about their grandparents staying there, their parents staying there during the World War II. Give us old photographs of Phoenix. It connects people, which most historic buildings do, and that's why Steve and I kind of want to save what history we have left to connect people.
Well, I'm glad to hear somebody that has an appreciation for it owns it, because every time I end up in downtown, I just think, you know, all the new buildings and structures, and not only just Phoenix downtown, but all over, I just think, well, San Carlos is still there. I wonder how much longer till they'll take a little wrecking ball to that, but it sounds like it's owned by somebody who's got an appreciation and desire to keep that and going forward.
91 years. It's never closed its doors. It's always been an active building. Hopefully it'll always stay a landmark in downtown Phoenix. We're just temporary custodians of that and other historic buildings.
And it still functions as a hotel.
Amateurishly, but yes, it does.
That's okay.
The profit is also a historical thing, but we make a go of it there, and people see what a local identity in Phoenix is like, that instead of just the cookie cutter hotels.
Well, I agree with Romy. You know, and it seems like every time you get out and drive around, everything has changed. There's something new. There's a new building. Often we say, I don't even recognize this place. I've been here since 73. Rosie's been here since 64 or 5. So it looks a lot different. And then, but just in our, you know, adult life, things change so quickly. So I love the idea of repurposing, and you're big into that. But Steve, you mentioned how many buildings have just been mowed down, and nobody will, you know, a lot of generations from now won't even know that they were there. So can you speak to some of those things that have just gone?
Sure. Well, one of the things, when I first met Rob about 5 years ago, and we were talking about some of the buildings that have gone away and some that are still remaining. And he threw a number out to me that there was a survey that was done in the early 90s by the city of Phoenix trying to figure out exactly how many historic buildings do we have. And at that time, there was 103 buildings still standing that were built 1900 or prior. And as of today, we have 49 of those left, which to me is just an absolute shame. If we're going to focus on historic preservation without any history, we have no historic preservation. And the way we're going with that trend, it won't be long before we'll be close to zero, if not at zero. And the other side of it is over the course of pretty much that same amount of time, the city of Phoenix has spent in bond money in the neighborhood of $43 million around historic preservation. So when you ask yourself, wow, we've spent $43 million, yet the number of historic buildings keeps decreasing. Why is that? So,
and do you know specifically of those 49, does someone have their eye on those? Or are you actively like trying to
intervene
in all those?
Absolutely. The Historic Preservation Director and the department, they focus on those quite a bit and are really they've actually come up with a phrase that says draw the line at 49 in trying to save those buildings and focus on those. Unfortunately, and Rob can speak more to it, but there's only so much that the city can do. The reality is there are demolition permits that can be put on hold, and the developers need to justify those. But the reality is, even with all of that, only about 1 year is all that can be done in terms of saving a building at the most.
Talking historic preservation here in the Arizona Hour of Rosie on the House.